Wheaton Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Becoming Dr. Ruth, produced by Triangle Theater. Starting February 5th through the 28th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza at 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. Becoming Dr. Ruth tells the story of the outrageous and iconic Dr. Ruth Westheimer and the journey she took from fleeing the Nazis to her struggle as a single mother to coming to America and becoming a renowned sex therapist. Again, that's Becoming Dr. Ruth, produced by Triangle Productions, from February 5th through the 28th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And you are tuned to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for Chris Andre's Air Cascadia coming right up. And that is followed at 10:15 by Locust Focus. Today with host Barbara Bernstein, she speaks with Julia DeGraw, who is the organizer with Food and Water Watch, about the campaign to keep a Nestle's bottled water plant out of the Columbia Gorge. And today at 11 is Disability Awareness. And at 11:30 on the radio scene, Andrew Geller interviews French lawmaker Laurence Abbé, who made history last month when her law regulating public exposure to radio frequency radiation was adopted. So do stay tuned to KBOO all day. And if you are not a member, become one, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, February 23rd, 2015, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Don't forget, it's never too late to have a happy membership. You can do it online right now with a simple click of a key. And again, thanks so much to everyone who did, in fact, become members and renewed their membership in our past winter membership drive. Your participation makes all the difference. I want to just let listeners know that the next 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, Air Cascadia will be devoted to broadcasting a long interview that I did with John Kiriakou. He has just been released from prison, and he talks with KBOO about his experiences there, why he ended up in prison as the only CIA officer who spoke openly, publicly about the fact that the U.S. does, in fact, torture prisoners. He was incarcerated in a real prison and not a club fed. And he tells of some of his experiences there that led him to take a very hardline stand against the way that people, human beings, are treated in this country. And the entire corruption of the prison system, which has contributed so much to human misery right here in this very day and age in this nation that proclaims itself to be land of the free and home of the brave. Well, we'll see about that. And also, he will be speaking on the USA Patriot Act, the fact that many people are walking around today blissfully unaware that their lives are strictly confined. They have no privacy anywhere, and that they have become almost numb to the fact. So all of that over the next 2 days. Today, however, we have some very we have important headlines right here in Cascadia. The fuel trains, right? There have been protests. There are a lot of people who are stirred from a natural state of apathy and taken a stand against oil trains. But now the federal government comes out with this rather startling prediction for anyone who has not taken this seriously. Get this. Trains hauling crude oil or ethanol will likely derail an average of 10 times a year over the next two decades. presumably by that time there'll be nothing left to blow up. So the end of that prediction. But bear that in mind, just that alone. Trains hauling crude oil or ethanol will derail on average of 10 times a year over the next two decades. Can we really afford 200 fiery train derailments? $4 billion in damage? The possible deaths of hundreds of people? Just think about it for a moment. And timber woes in Oregon, again, and it continues. International land grabs and a new Secretary of State. Get this, Singapore-based Whitefish Cascade Forest Resources bought nearly 200,000 acres of timberland in southern Oregon. There's a lot more to find out about that. We have, we've got all the numbers and we've got all the facts, and it's way less painful to read them than to have to hear them on the air. Kate Brown, our new governor, is going to name Brian Shipley, OHSU lobbyist, as her gubernatorial chief of staff. Brown's spokesman said, in fact, yesterday that Shipley is going to take over the top staff job of the new administration. He is a lobbyist and has extensive experience inside. He's a true insider. He was Brown's chief of staff, and she was Senate Majority Leader and was previously her Deputy Secretary of State. So, again, the circle tightens. We have yet to see what Kate Brown's stance will be on some of the important environmental issues in the Klamath Basin. Farmers recently at the Organicology Conference, people talked a lot about the Klamath Basin, water rights for farmers, and water rights for fishermen, particularly native fishermen. That was a topic of great concern, because many people who count themselves among the ranks of environmentalists have feelings about saving the salmon, saving the fish runs, and protecting Native American rights, which have been trampled upon in the most egregious possible ways over the years. So protecting that, and also attempting to continue agriculture in some form as we know it, is very difficult to convert from water intensive, irrigation intensive form of farming to something that's more xerotrophic, that's more sort of a dry land. There are dry land types of rice, there are dry land types of wheat, but most agriculture in the United States depends upon irrigation, limitless water. Water is not limitless, of course. Fracking has seriously depleted aquifers across the country, and the ones that it hasn't depleted, the ones where there still is some water in them, that's probably polluted. So you've got depletion or pollution, take your pick, and you're getting both of them whether you like it or not in one form or another coming down the pike in the very near future. So now we have Kitzhaber out as governor, which in some ways may be a good thing. She has voted with Kitzhaber more or less in a straight line down his cowardly capitulations to coal, oil, and gas industries, and of course plans to exploit the coastal areas. This again takes us back to oil trains and the hazards that they present. So the Singapore company buys these 200,000 acres. We have to see where that leads. It's probably not going to be good, because as we've seen before, the collusion between the corporations and the government, the public and the private sector, goes on apace. Our government is increasingly corporatized. If a company such as this Singapore consortium gets their hands on a piece of land and they want to say a site, an oil terminal there, and we have laws against that, it's increasingly easy, it's a done deal, to change those laws. So what the existing laws that we do in fact have to protect and preserve the environment, those turn out to be meaningless scraps of paper. That can vanish with the stroke of a pen. Whatever these corporations want, somehow, in the end, they end up getting. And this has gone on for a number of years. What we have to think about now is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. If this goes through, and the fast-track legislation pushes it even closer to hand, if this does pass, what it means is that any corporation, foreign or domestic, can come in and ride roughshod over our environmental protections, over our labor laws, over anything that is in their way. That's where all of this leads. All of this is interconnected, all of it. Southern Oregon communities have long proposed a natural gas pipeline route and looking for creative ways to stop the project now. In Douglas and Coos County, residents hope, get this, this is very interesting, that a community bill of rights will give them a legal avenue to assert local control. What a great idea. Communities, people actually looking up from the screen, looking up from the keyboards, and looking around and seeing other like-minded members of their community right beside them and thinking, what about if we all got together and restored the notion of community? Instead of remaining citizens of the self, we become citizens of a community. Maybe if we did that, we could actually get something done. So, a community bill of rights. It would give them a legal avenue to assert local control. The pipeline for the proposed Jordan Cove liquefied natural gas export terminal in Coos Bay would run through the property of one of these members of the community, one Stacy McLaughlin. She doesn't want it there. And speaking out before government officials has been less than satisfying. So McLaughlin is organizing her Douglas County neighbors to enact a community bill of rights. It would give cities and counties the legal grounds to say no to projects that violate local values. And now this could catch on. The more people hear about derailed trains, 10 a year, $4 billion, the more it looks pretty good to talk to one's neighbors about what the future, what kind of a future that they want. And coming up very, very soon, for example, tomorrow, the panel on occupation, environmental destruction, and international resistance. That's students for United Palestinian Equal Rights via Portland State University and the Smith Memorial Student Union Building. We're going to have a visit from Omar Barghouti. He's an esteemed Palestinian intellectual. He is an activist, and he is on his long-awaited U.S. tour, stopping off here in Portland. Barghouti's the co-founder of the Boycott, Divest, and Sanctions movement, something that most listeners have heard about, and many listeners have participated in. It's not difficult. If you see where something's made and you feel that the nation in which that product is made has engaged in what amounts to genocide and certainly an apartheid system of government, also lies and obfuscation regarding a nuclear program, well then, it's not that difficult to decide not to buy the product. An international... In striking parallel to the dynamics of occupation and resource control enacted by the Israeli state against Palestinians here in North America, Turtle Island indigenous people are waging an ongoing fight against environmental destruction and land dispossession, and that is what this event is all about. There's a lot more. You can get that online. We're going to put links to that on the KBOO website, as we are wont to do, when that website affords us the opportunity. But Google that. It's the panel on occupation, environmental destruction, and international resistance. Omar Barghouti and other wonderful speakers at Portland State University. A book came out recently that ought to give Greens pause. The antagonist is no less than the Environmental Protection Agency, where a high-ranking EPA official was recently jailed and fined for collecting pay and bonuses for decades of non-existent work. Why claim to be working elsewhere for the CIA? The book, Poison Spring, is co-authored by Vagelos Baliantos. He worked for a quarter of a century in the EPA's pesticide division, ostensibly responsible for protecting human health and the environment from commercial poisons. On that note, we're going to wrap things up for today. We have, of course, Barbara Brinstein, Locus Focus, and next Nestle Corporation, Julia Dura, is going to be on and talking about exactly this kind of corruption. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, February 23rd, 2015. Kate Welch engineered the show today. Thanks, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson's the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
As citizens of a so-called democratic society, we need to have information that ranges from A to Z, not what we have, which is A to B.
KABU is proud to present An Evening with David Barsamian, Wednesday, March 4th, 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. All proceeds will benefit KABU Community Radio. One of America's most tireless and wide-ranging investigative journalists, David Barsamian is the host of Alternative Radio. Again, that's An Evening with David Barsamian, Wednesday, March 4th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.